If Calpurnia had ever bathed me roughly before, it was nothing compared to her supervision of that Saturday night's routine. She made me soap all over twice, drew fresh water in the tub for each rinse. She stuck my head in the basin and washed it with Octagon soap and Castile. She had trusted Jim for years, but that night she invaded his privacy and provoked an outburst. Can anybody take a bath in this house without the whole family looking? Next morning, she began earlier than usual to go over our clothes. When Calpurnia stayed overnight with us, she slept on a folding cot in the kitchen. That morning, it was covered with our Sunday habiliments. She had put so much starch in my dress, it came up like a tent when I sat down. She made me wear a petticoat, and she wrapped a pink sash tightly around my waist. She went over my patent leather shoes with a cold biscuit until she saw her face in them. "It's like we're going to Mardi Gras," said Jim. "What's all this for, Cal?" "I don't want anybody saying I don't look after my children," she muttered. "Mr. Jim, you absolutely can't wear that tie with that suit. It's green." "What's the matter with that?" "Suit's blue. Can't you tell?" "Hee-hee," I howled. "Jim's colorblind." His face flushed angrily, but Calpurnia said, "Now you all quit that. You're gonna go to First Purchase with smiles on your faces." First Purchase African ME Church was in the quarters outside the southern town limits, across the old sawmill tracks. It was an ancient, paint-pilled frame building, the only church in Macon with a steeple and bell, called First Purchase because it was paid for from the first earnings of freed slaves. Negroes worshipped in it on Sundays, and white men gambled in it on weekdays. The churchyard was brick-hard clay, as was the cemetery beside it. If someone died during a dry spell, the body was covered with chunks of ice until rain softened the earth. A few graves in the cemetery were marked with crumbling tombstones. Newer ones were outlined with brightly colored glass and broken Coca-Cola bottles. Lightning rods guarding some graves denoted dead who rested uneasily. Stumps of burned-out candles stood at the heads of infant graves. It was a happy cemetery. The warm, bittersweet smell of clean Negro welcomed us as we entered the churchyard. Hearts of Love hairdressing mingled with asafoetida, snuff, Hoyt's cologne, Brown's mule, peppermint, and lilac talcum. When they saw Jim and me with Calpurnia, the men stepped back and took off their hats. The women crossed their arms at their waists, weekday gestures of respectful attention. They parted and made a small pathway to the church door for us. Calpurnia walked between Jim and me, responding to the greetings of her brightly clad neighbors. "What you up to, Miss Cal?" said a voice behind us. Calpurnia's hands went to our shoulders, and we stopped and looked around. Standing in the path behind us was a tall Negro woman. Her weight was on one leg. She rested her left elbow in the curve of her hip, pointing at us with upturned palm. She was bullet-headed, with strange almond-shaped eyes, straight nose, and an Indian bow mouth. She seemed 7 feet high. I felt Calpurnia's hand dig into my shoulder. "What you want, Lula?" she asked, in tones I had never heard her use. She spoke quietly, contemptuously. "I wants to know why you bringin' white chillen to nigger church." "They's my company," said Calpurnia. Again, I thought her voice strange. She was talking like the rest of them. "Yeah, and I reckon you's company at the Finch House during the week." A murmur ran through the crowd. "Don't you fret," Calpurnia whispered to me, but the roses on her hat trembled indignantly. When Lula came up the pathway toward us, Calpurnia said. Stop right there, nigger. Lula stopped, but she said, You ain't got no business bringing white chillen here. They got their church, we got iron. It is our church, ain't it, Miss Cal? Calpurnia said, It's the same God, ain't it? Jim said, Let's go home, Cal. They don't want us here. I agreed. They did not want us here. I sensed rather than saw that we were being advanced upon. They seemed to be drawing closer to us, but when I looked up at Calpurnia, there was amusement in her eyes. When I looked down the pathway again, Lula was gone. In her place was a solid mass of colored people. One of them stepped from the crowd. It was Zebo, the garbage collector. Mr. Jim, he said, we're mighty glad to have you all here. Don't pay no attention to Lula. She's contentious because Reverend Sykes threatened to church her. She's a troublemaker from way back, got fancy ideas and haughty ways. We're mighty glad to have you all. With that, Calpurnia led us to the church door, where we were greeted by Reverend Sykes, who led us to the front pew.